So Revelation chapter 20, and I want to draw your attention to the scene of the great white throne of judgment that we've been looking at. And I want to consider the subject, the judgment of believers, the judgment of the saints. I have said that this judgment is final. We saw that last week. We saw that it's also universal. It is the judgment of all men. And not only of men, but also of angels. The Bible talks about that great day. Angels will be judged. Jude says that the angels have been kept reserved in everlasting chains unto the judgment of the great day. And that's the day we're looking at. So there's the judgment of angels in this day as well. But John doesn't mention that. He just focuses in on the judgment of men, the dead. But I believe that there is, while every man is judged, I believe that there is a twofold distinction in that day. And I think that that is even brought out in this scene that John witnesses. I believe that verse 12 describes the believer's judgment. And I believe that verses 13 to 15 describes the unbeliever's judgment. There is a twofold distinction. Now, it doesn't say distinctly that the believers are in verse 12. I know that. But I believe that it is the case. So verse 12 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And then there is this other scene. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So verses 12 and verses 13 through to 15 are distinct in two parts. It's not just a repetition. There is a distinction. There is a difference. Verse 13 follows verse 12. Now, I'm not saying there's a long time gap between them. I'm not saying that. But I am saying there is a distinct order. And I believe the dead in verse 12 corresponds with the dead referred to earlier who lived and reigned with Christ. I believe the dead here are the believers. And verse 13 corresponds with the rest of the dead that are also referred to in the earlier passage. The rest of the dead, the unbelievers, those who don't reign, live, those who don't live, and those who don't reign with Jesus Christ, the unbelieving dead. You will notice that the dead of verse 12 then, they don't come out of the sea. The dead of verse 12 don't come out of death and out of hell. They don't come out of those places. They don't come out of those abodes. They don't come out of those places. So these are a distinct dead. Now, in the book of the Revelation, the sea is a picture of the ungodly, tumultuous nations. In Revelation, the sea personifies evil. It's out of the sea that the great beasts come. It's out of the sea that all the wickedness comes. It's out of the sea where sin is kind of personified in the book of the Revelation. And it's that sea that gives up its dead, the unbelievers, the unconverted. They come out of the sea and they come out of hell. And so there is a difference. The dead in verse 12 didn't come from the sea. And the dead in verse 12 certainly didn't come from hell. So in Revelation then, you'll notice also in verse 12 that the dead here, who are described as small and great, they stand before God. Doesn't say that about the rest of the dead. But these dead, they stand before God. They stand in his presence. And I think there's a difference, because in the book of the Revelation, standing before God usually has a good connotation. They're not fleeing. They're not running about. They're not like the earth and the cosmos fleeing away, trying to flee away. No, these dead are standing before God. They're standing still in His presence. And as I said in the book of Revelation, that imagery of standing is usually a good thing. For example, in Revelation 7, verse 9, it says, John, I beheld a great multitude. No man could number them. All nations, kindreds, people, and tongues. And they stood before the throne. And they were all clothed with white linen. They were the saved. And they stood before the throne. And now John sees, I believe, the same people. I saw the dead stand before God. The believing dead, I believe. You remember how the Lord Jesus says, Watch you therefore, He said, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things and to stand before the Son of Man, to stand before Him. I believe that's a description of the believing. Unbelievers won't stand. They'll be prostrate with fear. They'll be terrified. They'll want to flee and to fly. But this dead, I take it as the believing dead, small and great, standing before Him at this judgment. I believe that this vision parallels another vision that occurred earlier on in the book of Revelation. I think it's Revelation chapter 14. The two harvests, the harvest at the end of the world, is in two stages. There are two sickles. There's a harvest that takes up the right grain, which pictures the harvesting of believers. And then there's the harvesting of the grapes, which go into the winepress of the wrath of God. And that pictures the harvesting of unbelievers. And I think that this vision corresponds with that. The dead, the believing dead, small and great, standing before God. The book of life there, they're judged. And then the sea and the dead and hell being raised up. And they're all cast into the lake of fire. All of death and all of Hades cast into the lake of fire. I hope that you understand I'm making that distinction. Verse 12, and we're looking at the judgment of believers tonight. I want to do two things. I want to show, first of all, that believers will be judged. All of us who are saved will still be judged. And then I want to show you, secondly, why believers must be judged and why it is that they will be judged. So those are the two main thoughts, really, as we look at the judgment of believers tonight. First of all, then, believers will most certainly be judged according to the Holy Scriptures. They who are saved, having their sins forgiven, yes, but they also shall be judged. This is the teaching of the Word of God. Salvation and the forgiveness of sins does not mean that we do not appear before the judgment seat of God. It doesn't mean that. The Bible clearly teaches that saints will be judged. Judgment Day is not just for the wicked. Judgment Day is not just for the unconverted. Judgment Day is also for the saints and for the angels as well, for every creature that ever lived. This great final day, we must all come before the judgment seat. That's the uniform teaching of Scripture. And I think it's very important that we see that, if you're a Christian tonight. It's very important that we see that, child of God. The child of God is never to think, I won't have to answer for this. The child of God is never to think, I won't have to give an account for this. The child of God is never to think that. The child of God is never to think, I can live whatever way I like, or I can sin lightly and just be forgiven, and there's no accountability whatsoever. You can't think like that, and it doesn't work like that. And I want to bring you to the Scriptures tonight that show that we, even who are the people of God, will give account at that great day, because the Bible teaches that. And I think it's very important that we understand that, and I want to go to a number of Scripture references to show that. Now, in looking at these scripture references, I want you to note not only that the saints are judged, but I want you to note that their works come into the reckoning. They're judged according to their works. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to show you that. Now, I know you'll have questions. And I know you'll ask, well, are sins of believers not forgiven? And are we not saved by grace? Yes, both of those are true. But in both of those doctrines and those truths, they still not do rule out the fact of a judgment day. So, child of God, we really have to get this into our mind and heart. And the Bible time and time again reminds us of this. It's not a subject in a wee obscure place, one or two wee verses. It's time and time again, the Bible is bringing the saints to this great day to remind even us that we'll give an account. So I want to give you some references. I want to give you a reference, first of all, from the Old Testament. Psalm 50 and verses 3 to 5. The psalmist said, our God will come. The Lord's coming. But we preach that every week, don't we, in the New Testament churches. Our God shall come. He's on his way. Psalm 50. Our God shall come. He'll not keep silence. I tell you, when he comes, you'll know it. There'll be a trumpet blown. It'll be the noisiest event ever in creation. The last day, the great trump of God. He'll not keep silence. He'll come with a great noise. A fire will devour before him. He'll burn up his enemies, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. A fire will devour before him. It'll be very tempestuous round about him. Everybody will know it. It's the end. It's the king coming. It's the judgment day. It's the last day. Very tempestuous round about him. And it says here, he'll call to the heavens from above and to the earth. Why is he calling to the heavens? Because there are saints in the heavens. And he's calling to the earth because there are saints in the earth. And he's calling to gather them all together that he may judge his people. He's going to judge his people. Do you see that? Not that he may judge the wicked and judge the heathen, but that he may judge his people. He's going to judge his people. And he describes his people. My saints, gather my saints together from the heavens and from the earth. Gather my saints together, those that have made a covenant with me in grace, those who are saved, those who are in the everlasting covenant, those who've made a covenant by sacrifice and are redeemed by blood, gather them together that he may judge. It's a great psalm, that, actually. Very prophetic. Takes in the last day, and it's going to judge his people. So his people are being judged. That's what the Old Testament, that's just one reference from the Old Testament. There are others. But then, what did the Lord Jesus say? We read Matthew 25, didn't we? And I don't want to go through it all again, but you'll see that there's the sheep and the goats. And the sheep are judged first, just like in verse 12. It's the sheep first, the dead, small and great, standing before God. And then the sea and Hades and hell giving up the rest, and they're judged. The goats, the sheep and the goats are all judged in that great day. They all appear before the Lord. And you notice what the Lord says to the sheep. He says, you visited me, and you did this to me, and you did that to me, and you did the other to me. Those are works. They're judged according to their works. His sheep are judged according to their works. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You have done good works. And the wicked, they're judged according to their works too. You didn't visit me. You didn't care for me at all. You didn't give me a cup of water. You did nothing for me. I never knew you. And so they're both judged. The sheep are judged. And the goats are judged. What I'm saying is, the saints don't escape the judgment day. We have to appear there. And whether we're small saints, insignificant saints, or whether we're maybe greater saints saved a longer time, doesn't matter. We'll all appear before God. So, the judgment of the saints. The Lord Jesus Christ taught it. He said that the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. and he shall reward every man according to his works. That's what the Lord Jesus says. So it's a judgment of everybody, of believers, and it's a judgment according to works. According to works. Now let's look at what Paul said. Paul had a lot to say about this. In Romans 14, in verse 10, he's talking about judgment, judging your brother. We do that a lot, don't we? We judge our brothers. We're hard on our brothers, but we're easy on ourselves. And Paul knows this, and he has to deal with these things, as every minister does. And he says, why dost thou judge thy brother? In verse 10 of Romans 14. Or why dost thou set thy brother at naught? You bring him down. You're judging him. You have to humble him. Why do you do that? He says, because at the end of the day, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He says, you don't have to do that. It's going to be done one day at the end of the world, and it's not your business to do it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's business to do it. We'll all stand. You notice that word stand again? He's speaking to believers who are judging their brothers. He says, we're all going to stand. Small and great, but we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us. For it's written, he quotes the Old Testament then. And then he adds, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Christ is God. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account to God, because Christ is God, you see. And the one on this great white throne is Christ, but he's also God. And we're going to stand before him, and we're going to give an account. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Now, that's not our business. But judge this rather, that you don't make your brother to stumble. Put a stumbling block before. But I'm not going to expound that passage. But you see what Paul is saying there? He's saying we're all going to have to stand, believers. And then in 1 Corinthians 3, he says something similar. Verse 11, other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, and that's true. But then we have to build on that, our good works. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Now when? When is it going to be made manifest? For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he have built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So here Paul is talking about again that great day, a day when all our works are going to be tried by fire to see of what sort they are. We're on the foundation. We're saved. But we're building on the foundation. And what we've built on the foundation is going to be tried in that day. It's going to be tried severely with the fire. It's going to be seen of what sort it is. There's a day of light, a day of reckoning, a day of judgment. Even for the saints who have built themselves on Jesus Christ. And we're going to be rewarded or whatever. So you see, there is a judgment day for those who are in Christ, who have built on the foundation. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, again Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Appear. We're going to be seen, because we're going to be in our resurrected bodies. Just like John saw, I saw them, the dead, they'd risen, they've appeared, and they're appearing before the judgments. We all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, he's talking to believers, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. In his body, his body's going to be there, he's going to appear before the judgment seat. That car that you drove for 70 years or whatever, you're going to appear in your body. And you're going to give an account of how you've been driving that car. That's what the Bible says. Well, give an account. He says, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So Paul's very clear about that. We've all have to appear in the body. And then you remember how he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. You see what he says to Timothy? Timothy, you make sure you preach the word, because you know something. Christ is coming back again, and he's going to be the judge of the quick. The alive, the spiritually alive, those who've been quickened, he's going to be the judge of them as well as of the dead. He's going to judge the saints, and he's going to judge the sinners. And he says, Timothy, you better preach the word, because there's a judgment day. And he brings that to Timothy. And brethren and sisters, we have to be reminded the same. There's a judgment day. We have to do what's right. So that's Paul. A few references from Paul. And then Peter, you remember Peter? How he said in 1 Peter 1 verse 17, if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Do you see how Peter says it? He says, if God is going to judge everybody without respect of persons, he says, you Christians, you better pass your journey here in fear. You see what Peter says? He doesn't say, oh, we're saved. There's no judgment. We don't have to worry about the judgment day. We can live whatever way we like. Peter doesn't say any such thing. He doesn't say any such thing. He says he's going to judge according to every man's work. Your works. So pass your sojourning here in fear. And then he says, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin at us, you see, that's where it begins. The saints are judged first. The sheep are judged first. It's the dead who appear in verse 12, who stand before God, who are judged first. Judgment begins with the flock. Judgment begins with the saints in that day. And if it begins with us, where shall the sinner? It begins with the saint. If it begins with us, where shall the sinner appear? And then here in our text, John sees it. So I've just given you a wee quick survey of all that the Bible has to say on this very quickly. Let me recap about this. Believers will come before the judge. Believers will come before the judge. Believers will come before the judge in their resurrected bodies. The judge will be the Lord Jesus, because it's a judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment of believers will be at the end of the world, that great day, the last day. And the judgment of believers will be according to their works. Every man judged according to his works. Even this Bible closes with that reminder. Revelation 22 verse 12. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I've got my reward in my hand. I'm coming quickly, and my reward is in my hand to give to every man according to his works. Revelation 22 and the verse 12. Works are not unimportant, brethren and sisters. They don't save. We know that. But clearly, in some way, they come into the reckoning in that day. This is the clear teaching of God's word. It's not heresy. It's what the Bible teaches. So there is a judgment of believers according to their works. But then the second question is how? Why? Why are they judged? Why are they judged by works? Now, let's be clear about some things first. And especially one thing. Salvation and heaven and the forgiveness of all our sins is not merited by works. Works has nothing to do with salvation. It's nothing to do with the forgiveness of our sins. Nothing whatsoever. So let's be clear about that. We're not talking about salvation tonight. We're talking about the judgment of the saved. That's what we're talking about. They're saved. But we're talking about how they're judged. So the sheep before the throne are clearly in their sinless resurrected bodies. They're saved, and they've been raised incorruptible, and they've been raised in sinless bodies. And they're coming before the Lord Jesus to be judged. But they're in their sinless bodies. They're already saved. So they're not coming to the judgment to see if they're going to be saved or not. They were raised saved. And they appear as sheep coming before the Lord. So they're already sheep. Nothing can change that. Because you see, they're in the Lamb's book of life. They're in that book. That's all that matters. That's a book of grace. And so, you see, they've already been in heaven. Some of them have been in heaven for thousands of years in their spirits. They're saved. And whenever they come before this judgment day, it's not all going to be reversed. Oh, I'm going to lose my salvation. I'm not going to be saved anymore. I'm going to go into the life. No, that's not the way they think. As they stand before God, they know they're saved. They know they're saved. And they're glad they're saved. And they can stand there before their Heavenly Father to receive the judgment. So it's not that there's terror and fear. I don't want you to think that. They're in the book of life, and that's where the whole matter really is settled. And in both these judgments, the book of life is present, as well as other books. But the book of life is present. And if you're in the book of life, you're saved. And if you're not in the book of life, you go into the lake of fire. And the book of life is the Lamb's book of life. And it's a book of grace. It's a book of electing, redeeming grace. And we're in there by grace. Grace alone. And we're in there because of Christ alone. And we're in there because of his blood alone that bought us. And we're in there because of his work alone. And his drawing us to himself by faith. It's all of grace. And we're saved by grace. But we're not talking about salvation tonight. We're talking about judgment. Well then, if they're saved, why must there be a judgment of believers according to works? And I think there are two reasons, and I want to give them to you very quickly. First of all, the first is to show and demonstrate to all that they are the people of God. Works don't make them God's people, but works show to others they are God's people. Because God's people would only do those things. You give them a water. You visit them in prison. Those are things believers do. They do it for Christ. They love him. And whatever they do, even when they help others, they do it for Christ. They do it for his glory. They do it because they love him. And this will all come out in the judgment day. You did it for me. For me. And that's the proof. That's a demonstration that you're on the foundation. And so works are not the foundation. Christ is the foundation. But works are the demonstration that we are on the foundation and that the foundation's important to us. That Christ is all and in all. And anything we do, I'm going to do it feebly, I'm going to fail so much, but we'll love him. I'm going to do it for him. So it's to demonstrate. Works are the evidence that one is a Christian. Anyone can say they're a Christian. Anybody can say that. Many will say, even Lord Jesus has told us, many will say in that day, Lord, 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 Lord. But only Christians can do the work of a Christian. And that's why Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. No, it's not just talk, talk, Lord, Lord. It's the works manifesting that he really is your Lord, and you love him as your Lord, and you serve him and obey him as your Lord. Faith without works is dead. It's not saving faith. Several times Paul listed certain kinds of deeds. We'll not go into those deeds, but he said, those who do those things are not inheritors of the kingdom of God. They're not saved. They're not saved. If they live in that lifestyle, they're not saved. In other words, deeds are exposed at the judgment. And if they're bad deeds exposed as a person's way of life, there will be evidence that their faith is dead and they're not saved. So saints will have that evidence. Saints will have that evidence. Yes, they'll have failures in their life. Their times have been backslidden. Their times have had their falls. But overall and generally speaking, a truly saved man will have manifested the fruit of godliness. Because we are saved and ordained unto good works. The Lord Jesus put it this way. He says, marvel not at this. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good. He doesn't say the saved. Yes, it is the saved. But how do you know the saved? They've done good. They that have done good shall come forth unto the resurrection of life. But they who have lived evil and lived in an evil lifestyle, they'll come forth unto the resurrection of damnation. It's the same day, the same resurrection, but there's a twofold distinction, and they're coming forth to this judgment, judgment unto life, and a judgment unto damnation and the lake of fire. So they don't come forth to life because they are good, but their doing good is evidence that they have life and are the Lord. So that's the first reason. It's to demonstrate that they are the people of God. And then there's another reason why works come into the reckoning. Not just to evidence our salvation in that day, but also to reward service. He's coming and he says, my reward is with me. I've got my reward. And this judgment day is necessary, this judgment seat of Christ. It's not a seat of condemnation for God's people. It's a seat that gives out rewards. In other words, it's not for inflicting punishment to the condemned. God's people aren't condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. They're not condemned, and they'll not be condemned in that day. But they're going to be rewarded for their victory. And that's what this judgment seat's about. It's not inflicting punishment to the sheep, but it's presenting rewards to the victors. And so there will undoubtedly be saints who will suffer loss, though they themselves will be saved. Because that's what the Bible teaches. But brethren and sisters, we should not just want to be saved. We should want an abundant entrance into glory. We should want an exceeding weight of glory, not just to enjoy glory and enter into glory, but we want to have what Paul says, an exceeding weight, a heavy weight of it. I want a heavy crown. I want a weighty crown, he says, so that I can cast it down with a great clunk at Jesus' feet. He wants an exceeding weight of glory. And so that's what the Bible teaches, that we are rewarded according to our service and according to our works. He that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. The planter, the waterer, the digger of the field, or the harvester of the harvest, everyone will be judged according to his own work and receive his reward. And so this is necessary for the rewards. Paul says, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of our hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And every man won't have the same praise. There'll be some who'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And there'll be others who just might not hear that. They're just saved just as before. Skin of their teeth, as Paul talks about. And so you see, there are different scales of reward and different crowns and different names given and different cities received and more talents given or whatever the metaphorical description of it is in the Bible. Paul says there's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For the stars differ from star to star in glory. One star is more bright than another star. And one star is less bright than another star. And the sun, it really beams. And he says, so shall it be in the resurrection of the dead of the saints. Some will shine like the sun. And others just may just be a dim star. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's why there's this day. And so let me finish then with an exhortation. An exhortation to the saints and an exhortation to the sinners. To the child of God, let me say this. I'm just using the words of Scripture. The words of John, for example. What did John say? He said, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves, he says. Don't be looking to others. You want to sort someone else's life? Don't look to others. Look to yourselves, Jesus says. Look to yourselves. And why do we have to do it? Why do we have to look to ourselves? Why do I have to worry about sorting out somebody else's life? Because I'm not going to be accountable for him. I'm not going to have his judgment. But I have to look to myself. And you have to look to yourself. Why do we have to look to ourselves? Well, John tells us that we lose not those things that we have wrought, and that we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves, that you don't lose what you've wrought. Look to yourselves, that you get a full reward. Look to yourselves. It's enough to look to yourself. Just look to yourself. That's the exhortation to the saint, in the words of the Apostle John. And in the words of the Lord Jesus, what does he exhort us? He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. That's what Jesus says. I'm coming. I'm coming quickly. Whatever you've got in your hand, you hold it fast. And don't let anybody take your crown. Don't let anybody take your crown. You can lose your crown, you see. Somebody can take it. Somebody who offends you, and you let it get into your heart and eat you all up. They're taking your crown. Don't let anybody take your crown. Don't let anybody do it. Jesus says it. Not me says it. Jesus says it. So that's the exhortation to the saints. And then what about the sinners? I've been speaking to the saints mainly tonight, and the judgment for them. But if you're not saved, if this is what it is for the saved, if the righteous, as Peter says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And sinner, you know, you're not even on the foundation. You don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a complete stranger to you. You might say, Lord, Lord, now and again, but he'll tell you in that day, I don't know you. You don't have any relationship with me. I don't know you. And so, sinner, I say to you, if the saint's going to have the account, what are you going to do? How are you going to appear? And so I would say to you, sinner, get on the foundation. Get on the foundation. Get into Christ. Make sure your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need to make sure. You need to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Be sure about it. So I exhort the sinner that way.